This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
And good morning. Welcome into another Tuesday edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, AM 1340 on your dial. We're broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance Collins, Ryan, and GP3 with you. As always, you can head over to fanrunradio.com. Click that live link at the top, powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We also have the free 99 Fan Run Radio app. Download that in stores today wherever apps are sold for you. Hey, if you want to take us on the go, you can get all the 12 hours of programming here at Fan Run Radio wherever you may travel. We also have the Periscope up and running. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook. Back in the building. Back in the building. Feels good. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's good to see you over
Missed
there.
Missed you guys. It's been a long time. It's been a long time. We'll go around the room. I need to check on everybody. See how they've been doing. See how everybody's Thanksgiving went. All the holiday stuff that I missed with you guys. I'll start with GP3. How are you today? How was Thanksgiving? How have you been?
Well, as far as I am today, I'm slightly perturbed.
Oh, really?
Yes. But that has a lot to do with the coaching searches going on. So I'll save my dismay for that later. But Thanksgiving, it was good seeing the family again. The actual day itself wasn't great for me. I was pretty sick. So I didn't really get to enjoy the actual Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving. I had to wait till the next day and just go to town on the leftovers. But
those are always the best, though. The leftovers.
The leftovers are some would say the leftovers are better than the actual meal on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, for sure.
But I still would have liked to have been able to enjoy it.
That's funny. On Thanksgiving too, I woke up sick that morning, and at first, I had my sister in town. With also my niece, my niece's kids, so my great nieces and nephews. And then my brother came in from Oklahoma, and his daughter came in from New York. So we had a full house. It was really and his grandson from Colorado Springs. So it was a full house in my house. But yeah, the first morning I woke up pretty sick too. I had to take the pink stuff. Yeah. And the stomach. I think the stomach thing's been going around though.
Yeah, it really has. Just about everyone I know has been down bad.
Yeah, last week I had it the morning of Thanksgiving.
That's what was wrong with me too.
Yeah, I took some medicine. I was good. It took me about 4 or 5 hours, but I bounced back. I was good. But yeah, I was the same way the morning of Thanksgiving, man. So I know what you're feeling.
See, mine didn't hit me till like 3 o'clock, so it knocked me out for the dinner time.
Oh, right for dinner time. That weird early dinner time.
Mine hit me right when I woke up. So at my first, because I had two Thanksgiving dinners, at the first dinner with like the in-laws, I like was feeling kind of down, but just kind of played it off and ate me something. Then I was feeling pretty good. Then later on in the afternoon, I was fine. But that's good. So you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I did the same. You got to spend a lot of time with family. Ryan, what about yourself?
Yeah, I had a good one, too. The last couple of years, my family's been spread out so much, so we haven't been able to have, you know, a big feast. So it was good. We had my step family came in, and, you know, we had about, like, 8-9 people, had a nice feast, watched a ton of football, you know, in the background the whole time. Tragically lost a couple parlays. You know how it is, but it was good. Really good to kind of slow down, you know?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing for me. I mean, you guys know I was out here. I had to work at the other job for the last week. But, like, it was good for me to slow down, too, spend some time. Although I didn't get much slowdown time. I was working every day. I worked a lot this past week. But it was good to spend some time with family, good to kind of slow down, kind of enjoy the time. And I feel like I got to sit down a little bit more and enjoy football and some sports throughout. But all around good time. A lot of things I missed while I was gone. Tennessee won. You know, they beat Vandy. That's huge. That's all. Anytime you can go take them behind the woodshed, we love to beat Vandy.
Hooray.
Yeah, I know, right? You know,
huzzah.
A win, and then we got the win where it was that Saturday after the Friday that I was out. Made yourself bowl eligible.
Mm-hmm.
You took out South Alabama. So, I mean, that was great. I missed a lot of things with you guys. We've got big coaching carousel news to talk about, the Vols to talk about, basketball. We, you know, went down to a tournament, split.
Mm-hmm.
Looked ugly versus Villanova. Start off right there. Looked ugly versus Villanova, but bounced back with a quality win versus North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how good North Carolina is going to be the rest of the way. And then you kind of struggled with Tennessee Tech, too.
Yeah, that was a little worrisome, you know, because that's a team that you don't expect to be behind the eight ball in the first half at all.
Yeah, so a lot of things happening with our Tennessee Vols on the football front and then also on the basketball front. Things we'll look at today. We'll have to start looking at where the Vols are going to maybe end up in the bowl. I think all signs, and I had said it a long time ago to Charlie, I don't want that one. All signs point to the Music City Bowl.
I don't want the Music City Bowl.
Yeah. Give us Dukes. Give us the Dukes Mayo.
Nobody wants to go to a bowl game 2 hours, two hours away in your home state.
Right. I personally do because I get to spend some time with family, as I said then, too. I get to go to Nashville. Nashville's fun, too, man. Like, obviously, we all know this. It's grown over the years, and it's more of a happening spot, and like it's like little Atlanta now. Like, so I think if I'm a player, I honestly would rather go to Nashville for nightlife and hanging out the days that they'll get to do that rather than go to Charlotte.
Me too, but there's still an off chance that we get a Florida Bowl.
Yeah, no, still off chance. What, Tax Slayer Bowl?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is now.
I know Kentucky's got the better record and everything, but
we travel better.
We travel better, and we beat Kentucky head to head. So
yeah, so like I did see that too. So I'm guessing it's like one of those Tax Slayer Bowls or whatever it's called now. Tennessee might get a look at that one. But hey, we're fired up. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That's our number to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines. On the other side, we'll take your calls and jump right into it. Man, feels good to be back. Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Chance Collins, Ryan, and GP3 with you for the next couple hours here at Fan Run Radio. Thank you for listening, Dave. Back in the building. Feels really good. I need to tell you, though, we're broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Cheer on the Big Orange. You got basketball still. You still got a bowl game coming up. With some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted with those quality ingredients you love. White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and just a hint of fruit flavor. Just 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and 5% alcohol. Avoid the beer belly bloat. And now, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. As always, please drink responsibly. We're going to go ahead and go over to the phone lines, open those up. The G3 Help Me hotlines are open. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law office of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit g3helpme.com or call them up at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's g3helpme.com. Again, g3helpme.com. Going to go over to the phone lines. Act like I've done this before. And let's take a call from Penny. Top of the morning to you, Penny. What's up, man?
What's going on, you guys? How you guys doing?
Feeling good, man. How are you?
Florida State. So,
I know, man.
I don't know what to tell you.
Got beat by a team without a coach. Really thought it was going to line up. Florida State was going to skate into the bowl column, get to a bowl game after not going last season. But things are not well down in Tallahassee.
Yeah, but remember, it goes back to when everybody was high on Norvell coming into the season. I said, hey, what did I tell you? Let's calm down. Let's make him prove it. So, he's still got to prove it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was pretty excited after the Notre Dame game. And I would say, too, like, you know, moral victories are moral victories, but they were in a lot of games this season, lost some tough ones that they should have won. And then you saw some glimpses of where they looked good. But that's the thing, man. Coach, we're talking about coaches today, big coaching carousel. We've got to talk about, I don't know how much longer Norvell's going to get. I think next year will be, you know, bleep or get off the pot because he has a top 10 recruiting class coming in. And he's going to have to do some work, or he's going to be out as well.
We'll see if he can hold it together. I mean, next year is, like you said, it's put up or shut up. We'll see what the deal is. So we still might get a bowl game. You know, sometimes it's 5-17.
Yeah,
get a bowl game. APR, but I hope we don't, though.
Yeah, I kind of hope they don't as well this year. I would even say that, you know, we've talked about before he got hired. There was a lot of talk, a lot of smoke. Where there's smoke, there's fire, whatever. With Prime, Coach Prime. Out there at Jackson State. Well, Deion Sanders was named the SWAC Coach of the Year, and his coaching pedigree is only going to get better. And if Florida State is looking at Deion in years to come, and people said maybe he wasn't ready for a big-time job whenever they were looking for Norvell, but he might prove himself after one more year at Jackson State, and he might land him a job going back home to Tallahassee.
I agree with that. You know, I'm a huge primetime fan, so I'm down with that. Not looking good college basketball with North Carolina for me. However, people miss out on all the drama all season long with the NBA. Big game, Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns tonight.
Yeah, the NBA, I don't know how much these guys have talked about since I've been gone, but, I mean, it's definitely heating up. You know, we're getting closer to Christmas. Christmas is when it kind of, I feel like, the general public starts watching a little bit more. That's when the you know, you really start to separate who's good team, who's really bad team. But right now, I mean, it's been very good. I would even say your mid-level teams. Like, I mean, last night you had the Cavaliers beat the Mavericks. The Bulls are hot. I'm going to continue to say that. I'm a Bulls fan. But you're right. I mean, the Warriors, Steph is playing out of his mind.
They just put Klay Thompson down in the G League at Santa Cruz right now to get him warm, get him loose.
That's nasty.
I got one of those jerseys, man. The Warriors, I mean, bar everything in the NBA is barring injury.
Yep.
But the Warriors looking good. They're looking hot. And people love to try to downplay and water down Steph Curry. Steph Curry just love making them shots. And also, for the last thing, hey, you think KD not rethinking his move to the Nets and dealing with Kyrie and Steph Curry up over here continuing to redefine his game?
I think absolutely has to be thinking about it a little bit. Now, KD just can't stand criticism, and he didn't like it that it was always going to be Steph's team and Steph was going to be the guy that everybody gave the praise to. And I think that's silly because, I mean, honestly, if the guy would have stayed, they could continue to win championships. Him and Steph could have won championships. Like, there's no doubt. Steph Curry's the greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life.
Facts. All right, you guys have a good show, man. Y'all got an awesome show.
Hey, appreciate it, Penny. Thank you, as always, for the call. If you want to chime in like Penny, go ahead and call the G3 Help Me hotline now. They're open, 865-546-8200. We're going to go ahead and go back over to the phone lines, take a call from Phil. Philly, top of the morning to you. It's been a while since I talked to you.
Yeah, Chancellor been on vacation, huh?
I wish it was vacation. It was no vacation for me. I'll put it that
kinda
way.
Kind of like a half vacation, huh?
Yeah, it was a half vacation, just not in the station, but I was definitely working, sir.
How's Ryan and Trey the Third doing?
We're doing good over here, Philly.
Can't complain.
Well, I'm glad y'all feeling better. That's good. There's some crap going around.
Yeah, they say that new variant's going around, and then at the same time, it's just every winter, man, like, you know, it's cold season, man. That's what happens. People start passing around viruses.
Yeah, our boy Charlie, I'm sitting in his spot today just because of it.
Charlie's out, too. He's not feeling well.
Well, hope he gets feeling better. How's Tennessee basketball? It's kind of perplexing. I heard the preseason show talking about them. I kind of agree with one of them on there saying that I like the ceiling's Sweet 16. And unless those young people get a lot better, I don't foresee us getting past the Sweet 16.
Man, are we doing that already? Are we already out on the team? I heard Houston and Nate, and Nate seemed pretty down about him. I want to say Davey as well. I might have heard him. But are we already doing this?
Triple J's hurt, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And that's a viable cog. And you look at it, where's the, you know, unless Hatfield improves inside, he's showing some glimpses there. But our inside, we play some people, we're going to get abused.
Yeah, right now that's what it looks like. I hope that they start to improve there. I mean, I got to believe that Barnes is going to get them ready by the time conference play comes around. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, and you see Hundley Hatfield, he's starting to get more minutes too, starting to get more comfortable. So I think if we keep playing through him, he'll progress the way that we need him to be that interior defender and that interior presence, because clearly we need someone that we can actually just rely on consistently like that. It can't always be Kamwa.
Well, Kamwa's very consistent, that's for sure.
Yeah. He's been playing good, though. That's one of those that I feel like it's too early to say anything about these basket vols with the early season right now, just because the progression, we're seeing the little bits of it, and we've had a couple good tests now, but Sweet 16 definitely, I think, should still be the floor.
Hmm.
I agree.
Well,
I agree. I think it still should. I'll probably be very critical of Barnes if he can't at least get to the Sweet 16 this year. I'll be very critical. I don't think that's the ceiling. I think that should be the floor. I think it's what we came into the season talking about with all the talent on the roster. And I don't want to change my stance on that yet.
Well, I hope y'all all right.
No, I sure hope so, too. I hope they get it turned around.
Well, they got all month to get ready for the SEC, that's for sure.
They sure do.
But these coaching changes are really – you think Brian Kelly's a good hire for LSU?
I actually do.
I think it's an incredible hire.
I actually do. Like, all right, so I am not a Brian Kelly fan. I've always knocked Brian Kelly. I think that he is, like, he's up there with my hate for Dabo, but he's under Dabo because I just hate Dabo. Obviously, ACC connection. And it's kind of Dabo talks too much, man. Like, shut up sometimes. But I've never liked Brian Kelly. But then this year, you know, I was watching games. He is the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame, which that snuck up on us all this season, I feel like.
Yeah.
He's consistently gotten it done, Phil. He'll get you to a playoff. I mean, and that's at Notre Dame. What, would say like every 2 years? They're in the discussion?
They're in the discussion right now.
And play Notre Dame's Mickey Mouse schedule every year.
That's true. It's going to be a lot different. But I think he's a coach that can get it done. I mean, years ago, we would have loved to have a Brian Kelly out of Tennessee, would we have not?
You'd rather have him than Brick, that's for sure.
Yeah, or Jeremy Pruitt. Like, we would have rather had Brian Kelly than Pruitt or, you know, Dooley. We can go back and name all the coaches. We don't know yet about Heupel, but I think that was a solid hire for them, and it was so underneath the radar, that's why I like it, too. Like, nobody knew. They didn't play their cards. Everybody thought that they wanted Lincoln Riley, and maybe they did, because, you know, you never want a coach until you get a coach, and then if you don't get the coaches, well, we never were talking to that guy anyways. So I think it's a very solid hire for the fact they didn't get a Lincoln Riley, they didn't get a Lane Kiffin. I think that's a pretty damn good hire, and he might be a better coach than both of those guys.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
The record's there. The proof is in his record.
Yeah, he does have a good record.
He's done it at Cincinnati. He's done it for so long at Notre Dame. And like you say, they do play a Mickey Mouse schedule, but at the same time, they play some top quality, everything's non-conference with them, but some top quality Power 5 opponents over the years.
Yeah, but when they play the SEC, they got their butt kicked.
They did. But, I mean, he's going to be able to recruit at LSU. I mean, that's a totally different ballgame of recruiting. And when you say probably, I would say academic probably is easier to get by at LSU than it is in Notre Dame. More prestigious in academics.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to be getting a lot more talent because, you know, the grades don't have to be the same.
Easier threshold to meet. Yeah.
What do y'all think Tennessee's how's Tennessee going to do next year after looking at this year going into the next? Do you think Tennessee will be improved or will be immensely improved?
That's a good question. I'll definitely say improve because we're definitely going to take advantage of that transfer portal. Clearly, there's a couple holes that we need to fill in terms of our depth at certain positions. Like, we could definitely use another running back, losing Tyon right here. But it's one of those. We've established such a good baseline in a second year of Heupel's, you know, his contract right here. There's no way we'll go worse than 7-5.
I do think they'll be improved. I don't know if, like you say, immensely improved. Like, I think they'll be more improved team. We'll be looking to win 8 games, 9 games. And with all accounts looking that Hendon Hooker is going to come back is the way it looks like, that puts you in a much better position.
Just about everybody's coming back from what we've heard.
If you have him coming back year two with how he kind of broke out this year in year one under Heupel's offense, you think a whole another offseason of him and Heupel watching film and, you know, Heupel really developing him and, you know, Golish and Hazley, the quarterback's coach, them really developing Hooker over the offseason, you got to think that they come in and he's going to be a threat. I would say he'd be a threat.
They got to replace Cade Mays. Cade Mays is leaving, That's a big loss. That right tackle spot's a glaring weakness on this offensive line. It was when Cade Mays didn't play this year.
Absolutely.
And you look at the two of our receivers are gone. Who's going to play Sam? And then we still – our defense is not very talented and it's slow. So they got to do something and upgrade the talent on defense.
Yeah, like Ryan said, I think that the portal is going to be huge for them. Obviously, going into the coming years, we'll be watching closely how he does in this early signing period because, I mean, we're all still waiting to see, can Josh Heupel recruit to Tennessee? That's the biggest question.
Yeah,
we know he can coach. We know he can coach. Yeah. We saw that this year. But will he be able to recruit and get the Jimmies and the Joes?
That's the big question. We'll find out, I guess. See you guys.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Phil. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That's our number. On the other side, I want to get to some of these coaching carousels. I want to ask you guys a big question that's on everybody's mind. Welcome back to the Blitz here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Chance, Ryan, and GP3. Before we get into this other discussion, there's a big question that we all must ask ourselves that keeps getting thrown about.
I have a feeling I know where this is going.
But before we get to that, I'd like to let you know that portions of our number one are brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. The NFL regular season is heading into the final month of the year. Oh, it's getting bad, I know, looking at my fantasy teams. And they are giving us a big Week 13 matchup between the Cowboys and the Saints. That's right, FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger for you because FanDuel is giving new customers, that's right, new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can win $150 on just a $5 bet. Hey, maybe you want to do a money line bet this weekend, Cowboys Saints spread, touchdown scores, maybe some Dak Prescott prop bets over passing yards. He's been pretty hot. Zeke Elliott, anytime touchdown. So many options with FanDuel. Just look for the SGP icon, which stands for Same Game Parlay. This and many of the other reasons, other offers and boosts, are one of the many reasons why FanDuel is the number one rated sportsbook app in America. And that's one of the many reasons that we love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's easy to use, it's safe, and it's secure. And plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Not going to make you wait like the rest of the books. Already a FanDuel Sportsbook user, well, FanDuel is also hooking up customers with $50 when you refer a friend. That's right. You and your buddy will get $50, too, when you refer your friend to the FanDuel Sportsbook. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ before the Thursday night matchup, and you could win $150 on just a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code BLITZ, though, so they know that we sent you. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only, $10 first deposit is required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See the full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. All right. The big question on everybody's mind, and it really is on everybody's mind, the coach carousel is going on. Lincoln Riley goes to USC. Will Josh Heupel even look at Oklahoma? Will they come after him? But the bigger question that I want to ask you guys in here, because I know how we kind of feel about the whole, you know, Josh Heupel going to Oklahoma thing. It can't happen twice. And by God, USC can't do it to us twice. They just cannot. I don't believe that it'll happen. But does Josh Heupel deserve to make a statement? Do the fans deserve a statement from Josh Heupel about his commitment to the Tennessee Vols? Ryan.
I just don't think that's the guy that Heupel is. Like, from everything that I've seen, it's more like people are putting words in his mouth, and he's just, you know, going about his business, you know, do-do-do-do-do. So I don't think he really needs to. Yes, it would give us a sense of security, but I think that's what we need to learn as a fan base almost is trust. Because this guy has built something. He's definitely in the position as a coach where he's trying to build towards something instead of restart and have to rebuild up again, because if he would go anywhere else, he would be probably in a, not a worse situation, but a similar situation to what he started his Tennessee career with. So I don't think he needs to say anything, but I think him not saying anything will say enough, and we just got to trust our guy.
GB3, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think he owes anybody anything. There was a picture that was leaked out last night of him out on the recruiting trail. That should be sufficient enough for anybody who has any doubts. He's not going anywhere. He hates Bob Stoops. He might have been on, or he might be on Oklahoma's board at somewhere, but I can tell you he's not at the top. He had a pretty brutal last tenure with him, with the way things ended underneath Bob Stoops. I just don't see him ever, maybe some point down the line he'd want to go back, like maybe 10, 15 years from now. But right now I think he's happy and content being at Tennessee. I think he's found a home, and he sees the potential and the progress that he can build here.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think the same thing. But with what both of you guys said, I think no news is good news. I've been telling people that all week. Like, I don't think he has to come out and say it. Like, then I get kind of nervous. Like, if he comes out and makes a statement on it, then does that mean he was pondering going to Oklahoma if they were to call with the right offer? Like, I don't really want that to happen either. And I believe that, you know, he's built something here.
I was going to say, like, look what Lincoln Riley did when asked, are you going to take the LSU job? He says, I am not going to be the head coach at LSU. What does he do? Turn around the next day, go be it? They're going to ask him, I'm not going to be the next coach at Oklahoma. Then you go take the Notre Dame job.
Like, exactly.
There's no need. Just let him do his job. He's out recruiting right now. And just don't worry about it. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, so many people are like, why has he said nothing? Why has he not said anything? He needs to come out. He needs to say something. Well, like what you guys just got done saying, what you just said particularly, he's out recruiting. This is what you do when the season's over. He's trying to get some guys in here for this early signing period. They're trying to swing some guys on the portal. Like, they're trying to flip some guys from the transfer portal. They understand depth is an issue. They understand they got to recruit some guys in here. So, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, me neither. And I think what people really need to know, I don't think it's common knowledge that he used to coach for Oklahoma. I think a lot of these people, when they heard the name Heupel, they had to, you know, like, learn about this guy. They had no idea what his backstory was, what his resume entitled. So if he wouldn't have coached for Oklahoma, I would say, yes, there's a lot more traction that he might go back to the alma mater. But since he already was there, and like GP3 was talking about him and the Stoops kind of rivalry almost at this point, I think it almost dismisses those if you just know all the information.
And I think that we do have to play devil's advocate. And you can say, well, if the Stoops thing, I guess if I were to be recruiting him to Oklahoma, if I'm the athletic director, well, Bob Stoops is out, you know.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look, you know, great since Bob Stoops is the interim coach right now for them.
Bob Stoops will never be out.
Well, no, he'll always be around the program. But I get that would be how you would sell it if you're trying to sell it to Heupel. But I absolutely don't believe he needs to make a statement. I am one of the people that believes that he's going to stay. He likes what he's building here. It's been a hell of a first year for him in Knoxville, and things can only grow. Now, if he were to go to Oklahoma, would they be better than Tennessee? Maybe. I would say if they were still in the Big 12 next year, I'd be like, yeah, like, they're going to be better than Tennessee. But they're moving to the SEC, and they lost a lot of players after Lincoln Riley left. So they might actually be put in a little bit of a couple years of purgatory as well. But we know they're a program that's always been historically pretty good.
Well, and the last thing I guess I'll touch on with this is I don't think anybody outside of Tennessee fans really thinks Heupel deserves a shot at Oklahoma. He won 7 games this year. And I mean, yes, we're happy that he won 7. We were projected to win 4 or 5. But a big-time program like Oklahoma is not going to go out and hire a guy who won 7 games in the SEC. That's just not what they're going to do. You thought the same was going to happen with LSU and Florida. They go out and hire winners. And proven guys. Heupel's not proven. He's on his way up. And, I mean, if you ask somebody in Oklahoma and you said, you think they're going to take Heupel, they'd probably laugh in your face. Because their expectations are 10 times higher than what Tennessee's are right now.
Yeah, I would say their expectations are pretty high. But I've also seen a lot of people on their message boards saying that, you know, that they have Heupel on the list. Now, how far down on the list is he? Probably pretty far down on the list. You're probably right there. They want to get out and get a proven name. Maybe if Luke Fickell doesn't go to a Notre Dame, I think that he would be high on their list as well. This is the chance for Matt Campbell to leave Iowa State. So there are a lot of probably bigger names out there than Josh Heupel, and Josh Heupel being an up-and-coming coach probably would steer them, you know, be a little bit of cautionary waters there. So I think that we're good. I hope so. I would hate that USC would do this to Tennessee twice. That would be awful.
Right.
And I don't believe Oklahoma is his dream job. Lane Kiffin, going back to USC was his dream job. He talked about USC so much in his time here at Tennessee, whether they were showing, you know, videos over there about all the great times at USC with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. So he always had this affinity for going back to Southern California. I don't feel it's the same way because of how things played out in Norman for Heupel. And then Bob Stoops went immediately to Lincoln Riley and made him like the protege golden child.
Mm-hmm.
When Heupel was on your staff as office coordinator, your former quarterback, and he's the last quarterback that got the Sooners a national title. So that might be the only thing that scares me, but I'm not that scared. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. On the other side, I want to talk to Coaching Carousel. I'm going to talk about all the coaches moving around. Lincoln Riley, he arrived. They're doing their press conference in Southern California today. He is the official coach of the USC Trojans. But there's more movement, and we need to talk about it. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We got a poll up at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. Put it out there and ask the question: should Josh Heupel make a statement on his commitment to the Vols? Well, there's a little bit of about 200 votes in right now. A couple people saying he already did. I'll find some quote on that, but. A lot of people saying that if he did another format or just released a statement directly from himself, it would make us all feel better. You know, we've been hurt before. A lot of people saying that as well. And here comes from Sawyer Smith. Apparently, Tennessee football coach Josh Heupel did make a statement. He's been speculated as the candidate for the vacant job at Oklahoma, his alma mater, as you all know, last Sooner to take them to a national championship as quarterback and win. But he made a statement here on one of the radio stations here in Knoxville, quote, "We love being in Knoxville. That's home for us. I love being in the building with our staff and our players. And I feel stronger today than I did 10 months ago when I first took the job about what we're going to be able to do and how quickly we're going to be able to get there. I know we're building a championship caliber football team and program. I'm excited to continue on that venture with our current players and staff." So that's pretty good, you know. Statement of, you know, support, solidarity, loyalty. Yeah.
Whoever needs to hear it, that'll work for him, right?
Yeah, I didn't think that he needed to make it, like we all just said. I feel like no news is good news. I knew he was out in the trail recruiting. You guys knew he was out in the trail recruiting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, actions speak louder than words, and you've seen coaches say more definitive or have more definitive answers than that and leave the next day. Like, it's unnecessary, in my opinion. Like, you just... There's no need to make a statement when, more than likely, you're not even in contention for a job out there anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's how I feel, too. I just think that there's more important things for him to be out there doing than having to make a statement. And he did, though, and that's going to calm a lot of you fans down. You'll be able to calm down. It's not the same issue as Lane Kiffin going to USC, but Coach Heupel has made a statement. Speaking of the coaches... Coaching Carousel, things that we did not see coming. Lincoln Riley, we all know now, going to USC. Made three college football playoff appearances at Oklahoma and one of their most successful stretches in the recent years, in the modern era. So he goes to USC. Good hire?
Yeah. I mean, Lincoln Riley's still a great coach.
Me too. Yeah. I believe so. I'm not like with the people that think he's overrated or anything like that.
He is
a great
little
coach.
Bit of a wimp, though, to avoid the SEC.
I don't think so.
That's one of the big conversations,
you know,
that's going around.
We say that and we joke about it, you know, yeah. Like he's scared of the SEC, but come on, man, like these coaching gigs are tough, one for the coaches, and if they don't see immediate results, they start to, you know, you can be a Lincoln Riley and have all the success at Oklahoma, but you start to lose, they will fire you. Yeah. And I thought it was the smartest move that he could have made because, yes, Oklahoma going to the SEC be going to be very, very tough. Very, very tough. Probably not going to have the same success of getting to the college football playoff as you thought you would. And then you go to USC. All you got to do is win the Pac-12, baby. Go undefeated. Maybe lose one game. You're in there. And let's not forget Norman, Oklahoma, Southern California, Pasadena area. Norman, Oklahoma, Southern California. That's a smart move. Like, I'm getting out of Norman all day, every day, twice on Sunday to be able to go to Southern California.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody for wanting to get out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, get that.
Not like the school, but like the state.
Yeah,
like,
get
that
out of there. Yeah, I talked to my brother. There's nothing in Altus. No, I know there's not much in Norman.
I do think it was a scummy move, but I mean, that's college football.
That's I get past all, like, you know, is this a bad move, by, bad look by a coach? That's what it is. It's a business now, man. It's not about loyalty. It's about trying to stay above, keep your head above water for your coach, trying to keep, trying to stay coaching as long as you can and get this check. And he got a check. They're paying him a decent amount of money. We'll have to get the exact figures on that. But I know it was a pretty big, you know, contract that people were talking about.
They, like, bought his house that was in Norman for $500,000 over asking price.
Yep.
They're paying for his house in...
in California, in Southern Cal.
They're giving him unlimited access to the private jet for personal affairs.
Yep. How can you say no?
You can't.
And you get to live in South L.A.
Yeah, again, again, you get to live in Southern California in Los Angeles. You're right there. You're with the stars. It just it's a sound move for him, smart move. But I wonder, too, you ever think about this? Does a Oklahoma feel so, and they probably do because of the money, but do they feel so, you know, comfortable moving to the SEC if they think their coach is probably leaving next year? Probably not. Probably not. This is going to be like a rebuild for them. You see all the players they've lost to the portal, all the decommitments. They're going to go. They're going
to
drop.
Let's put it this way. They're not going to be paying that hefty fee to be able to enter early. Like, they're going to use all the time they can in the Big 12 to really build themselves.
I just wonder
up.
What's a athletic director president's mind frame? Because when you make this decision in the off season, in the summertime, that, hey, we want to go to the SEC, you're thinking you got looking rally for the next 18 years? Like, yeah. Yeah, we got this. Let's do it. And then he says he's gone. So that's Lincoln Riley going to USC.
Do you think Riley was scared of the SEC? He didn't want to go to LSU. Didn't want to follow Oklahoma into the SEC.
I'd be scared of Saban and the Kirby Smarts of the world.
And then he's a wimp. And then also, I heard Talk Sports talking about this yesterday. What if Oklahoma would have beaten Oklahoma State? Does he still leave with a chance at making the playoffs?
Very true.
I mean Brian Kelly's
leaving.
They still had a chance at the playoffs.
And he's leaving?
It's just...
I think that Lincoln Riley's move was based on, yeah, I do. No speculation. We'll never know. He's never going to come out and say it. But I think the move was based on the fact that Oklahoma's going to the SEC and it's going to be much tougher to win. You're not going to be top dog. You're likely not going to have the path to the playoff that you had previously. But if you go to USC, a lot of the players that decommitted from Oklahoma, going to follow them there. Heck, their star quarterback that they had is only 22 miles from the stadium in Southern Cal. So he's going to go there. It just seems like everything lined up perfectly, and this was the right move for him. We talked about the weather. We've talked about the money that they're throwing at him. It's just a smart move for him all the way around. But I would agree. I think that he was probably scared of the SEC a little bit. I mean, like, think about it. When you're top coach and you've – Oklahoma always talked about going to the playoff. I mean, we started out the season, they were the top four teams. Like we said, this is one of your top four teams. When you have to go to the SEC and potentially pretty much start over, and then, hell, you might get put in the West where you got to play Saban every year. That's not too enticing, man. It's really not.
Again, I'm stealing something I heard on Talk Sports.
But yeah.
This move, I think it helps Tennessee.
I would agree.
John was talking about how all these five stars out in California, they're not coming to Tennessee anymore. They're going to Alabama and Georgia and Florida and some of the other top programs in the SEC. But if you can get a strong USC that's out there in California, keep some of those five stars home,
yes,
it's going to level the playing field a little bit.
Absolutely. USC hasn't been strong in a while, and they're losing a lot of their potential, you know, top prospects in the state. You are correct, to the Georgias, to the Alabamas. So I agree with that one as well. Sonny Dykes is going to be taking over for Gary Patterson at TCU. Thought that was pretty decent move for him, SMU to TCU. It's a step up going to TCU in Fort Worth. Also, outside of that,
Billy Napier
taking over for Dan Mullen. The Dan Mullen stuff that we talked about briefly before I was out, but then this is how that took off. That was wild.
Hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, you know, he gets beat by Missouri. They're like, see ya. We should have known something was up when they weren't letting him speak to the media. So, Billy Napier, how do we think he's going to do? He's not proven, but he's had some big wins. He's 39-12 in four seasons with the Raging Cajuns. Three straight double-digit win seasons.
I think he's a really good coach, but I think he's going to get fired in 4 or 5 years when they can't beat Georgia.
I do, too. I thought a better move for them would be bringing Kiffin. Kiffin scared the hell out of me going to Florida.
Yeah, I thought Kiffin would have been to Florida also, but there's still a chance he might go down to Miami.
Yes.
And spurn Ole Miss.
Which... And it seems like from a lot of rumors, now we'll see what he does. Now, rumors are rumors. But there's a lot of people that are talking about that he had his eyes on the U. That would be a preferential stop for him would be to go back to Miami and kind of restore
that. Would you rather
that.
Live in Mississippi or sunny Miami? That's kind of the same thing as Oklahoma versus L.A.
He's already lived down there in
Palm Beach, which is where FAU is.
Uh-huh, exactly. So he knows the area. I would rather live in Miami than Oxford.
Oh, yeah.
Twice on Sunday. Some other notable, I guess, moves where Rhett Lashley takes over for Sonny Dykes, the offensive coordinator at Miami, goes back to SMU. He was an assistant there. And then then the biggest one was Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, as they are also sitting outside the playoff, kind of on the bubble. He leaves to take over at LSU. And we'll talk more about that in hour number two. We talked a little bit about it with Phil. I think it was a good move by Brian Kelly, too. I think it was an even better move by LSU. I feel like they've dropped the ball over the last couple of years with, you know, kind of leaking out coaching information. Wanted Jimbo, couldn't get Jimbo. Wanted Tom Herman, didn't get Tom Herman. Wanted Kiffin, didn't get him. Wanted Lincoln Riley, didn't get him. But I feel like they knocked it out the park with Brian Kelly when you're talking about level of candidates. Hey, that's hour number one. It's in the books. Hour number two is on deck. Keep it locked here.